This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Welcome to Sunday Supplement. Keep listening to find out how you can win a stack of DVDs. I'm Simon, and with me as always is Izzy.
Ooh, I did ooh over you because you wouldn't let me go ooh at our prize giving.
Well, it might well be your birthday, but you're not getting any latitude from me.
Well, fine, I don't want any latitude. I will make do with longitude.
Jolly good.
And hopefully get there all right.
Yeah, you're not getting any birthday slack. I'm going to whoop your ass this week.
Really? No, yeah. Birthday slack while you're whooping my ass? I think that's for your birthday, is it not?
Maybe. So what paper have you chosen this week, Izzy?
Well, I didn't get a full free reign of choice, did I? Because you got your paper at like stupid o'clock in the morning, so I couldn't like get there first.
By stupid o'clock, you mean midday. You were hungover.
On a Sunday.
Are you going to tell me what paper you bought?
No, I'm going to sulk. I was very tempted by the News of the World, actually, because it had a big picture of a pregnant man on the cover, which I enjoy anyway, because it ruins a joke that you tell on stage.
It does ruin a joke I tell on stage.
Yes.
I'm not telling it now, if that's what you're angling for.
I'm really not.
Do you think he's going to have an abortion?
Yeah, that would be funny. I didn't get the News of the World. Despite the free Hulk merchandise that came with it, I went for probably my favourite Sunday paper, as in the one I would get if I weren't doing this podcast, which is The Observer.
And why would you get it?
Because I get The Guardian anyway, and normally in The Observer, they have a twin giveaway of supplements with The Guardian on Saturday, which is also the paper I get. Woohoo! Okay. So now I have two editions of Nature Spotting. Part one, Animals in The Guardian, which had a whole interview with David Attenborough. Now part two, Birds, by which I mean, you know, ornithology, not women.
Okay, I bought The Independent on Sunday, mainly because it had a free book on how to solve cryptic crosswords.
I don't want to put you down as a cryptic crossword man, Simon.
Well, they're the puzzle equivalent of sulking teenagers. They just sit at the back pretending they're like all enigmatic. Oh, you just don't understand me. No, I do understand you, and I choose to ignore you, you uncomplicated, characterless vessel of nothingness.
So basically what you're saying, Simon, is the only reason you dislike cryptic crosswords is because they're like teenagers, and the only reason why you dislike teenagers is because they refuse to sleep with you. You want to have sex with a cryptic crossword, is what you're saying.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, you old man.
Right, so Izzy, what are you going to cut out and keep this week from The Observer? And how is it in any way superior to what I'm going to cut out and keep from The Independent?
The one I thought was probably the best and that will interest you the most is Jackie Clune's article in the Observer Review, and this is called Let's Not Lose Our Sense of Humour Over the Comedy Super League. Now, this is all about how the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which happens every August in Edinburgh, basically there are four main venues which, you know, specialise in comedy, and they've all collaborated together to produce a little book with all the listings of comedy in there. Unfortunately, there are other great venues like The Stand, for example, mm-hmm.
The Stand.
Well, there's the Free Festival and there's the Free Fringe. So there are other venues dotted all over the city where you can go see free comedy or cheap comedy or good comedy or bad comedy, whatever.
But the point is that they've kind of clubbed together their brochure and kind of marketing a comedy festival rather than just the Fringe itself.
Exactly. And there's been a bit of fuss about this because it's quite exclusive. It costs a lot of money to put on a show in any of these venues.
I suppose the argument is that it's an investment in your career. It's a chance to be seen by industry professionals and all that sort of thing.
And also about six Japanese tourists. Usually.
But what's Jackie Clune's sort of take on it?
She also claims that the promoters don't make any money either, and that this is one way of keeping the comedy good and the comedy central part of the Edinburgh Fringe is to have its own little comedy festival, which I think, you know, is fair enough. She does, though, say that the only reason that we're against this is this student socialism view of the world, which is a sort of thing, you know, she's trying to be like Nick Cohen but not really managing it.
To be honest, I have strong views about the Fringe, but this brochure thing, it just doesn't really bother me. I don't see the harm in any kind of extra promotion.
Yeah, but Simon, you absolutely hate trees.
I do hate trees, yes.
And the amount, the more paper you could possibly make on these. You hate trees because they harbour birds and the birds poo.
So, on my windscreen, yeah.
Yeah, on your windscreen.
With nuts in, so they don't actually stick to the windscreen. It's disgusting.
You should see Simon's car. They love you so much. That you could actually grow stuff on your car. It has a layer of soil.
So there we go. We've gone from the Edinburgh Fringe to bird poo on my windscreen. I think that says it all. To be honest, it's a rubbish article, Izzy.
Rubbish article.
My Independent. That is what I got, isn't it? Yeah, the Independent. The Independent is just sex-obsessed this week. When I pulled out all my supplements, right, this is true, I was greeted by Jane Fonda's nipples.
Ooh, that's not good.
Well, they didn't, like look up at me and say hello or anything like that. But they were there, just right in my face.
Her nipples?
Her nipples, yeah, squashed into two plastic pudding basins.
Are you talking about jelly?
No. Jane Fonda in Barbarella. Was like the centre spread of the Independent. They're too cowardly to put an actual pornographic centre spread, so they put Jane Fonda in.
I'm trying to picture her. Let me see. She made cakes?
No, that's Jane Asher.
Oh.
Jane Fonda is like a sex bomb from the 60s.
Was she?
Hmm.
Was that what it was like when you were middle-aged in the 60s?
Oh, shut up. And then there's an article about someone who reckons he's had sex with 5,000 people.
Wow.
I don't think it was all at once.
Oh, okay. That's less exciting. I thought it was all at once. I thought, wow, that would be amazing. Wow.
But so I'm not cutting that out. I'm going to cut out and keep this article about the new media coverage of the presidential campaign. Talking about how Barack Obama was basically elected by bloggers and...
I don't agree with that at all.
Well, I don't either, but it's almost a really good excuse for journalists to be lazy now, I think. Instead of actually doing any kind of actual journalism, they're actually just typing. They're going, oh, this is what's being written on the blogs, and oh, look at this YouTube video that shows Hillary caught in a lie. And it's not about issues and campaigns anymore. It's literally just about perception, and I just hate it.
It's what we think people think about things, and not about things, about people. It's what we think people think about people. And they write it on MySpace, and they put lol a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I always find those articles very irritating because they are basically navel-gazing by the media going, oh, aren't we important?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then they bemoan the lack of actual journalism as though it's someone else's fault. I have to be honest, though, that all of my perceptions of American politics is based on the West Wing.
And Keith Olbermann.
And Olbermann, yeah. He's
mainly a sports commentator, though, who's just got a show called Countdown where he rushes through the week's news and gets very angry because he's very liberal and America isn't.
Well, that's the other thing. They're talking about Obama's being an elitist. Surely he's nominated for the presidency. That's quite an elite thing.
They're calling him an elitist. It's almost backhanded because by elite they mean that he's educated and can talk. And
but haven't they just spent the last 8 years bemoaning the fact that they have a president who can't talk or think?
Oh, what was that you were telling me about George Bush being nervous? That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's a really sweet story. George Bush, I can't even remember where I read it, but George Bush apparently very sort of articulate and charismatic in a one-on-one situation. But he actually suffers from stage fright.
Hence why he sounds like an idiot. He's not actually stupid. He's just
nervous.
Scared.
Yeah, he's just...
Which is genuinely funny. He can obliterate the entire Middle East and most of Russia with a button and yet can't get up and say hello in front of people.
It's really sweet, isn't it? So I think we need to decide this. I think my cut and keep is far better than yours. Mine is about world politics. Yours is about what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks in Edinburgh.
3 weeks, as well you know. And it interested you more. And
it doesn't.
I'm fed up. You're fed up of Barack Obama and the American election. I'm fed up of Barack Obama and the American election. Our listeners are guaranteed fed up with the whole nomination process, and yet you persist in bringing it up. So actually, you are the ultimate form of journalism. You have churned out yet another thing of Barack Obama where you haven't even brought anything new to the table.
I told everyone about George Bush's stage fright.
Yeah, only when I told you to. To make it vaguely interesting. I won.
review the reviewers. As always, I'm going to beat you with The Independent. I'm quite sure of that. I've got a review about Ben Affleck's new movie.
Oh, yeah?
Which was delayed because it was supposed to be out last summer. And it's about child abduction. And I don't know if you remember something about child abduction last summer. They delayed the release. But what
was there something?
There was something.
What's that?
Yeah. What's really the best about The Independent is their rating system, which is, it's not stars. It's not 1 out of 5. It's little icons of people in armchairs in various states of excitement. So it goes from an empty armchair, which is just appalling, to someone standing up and applauding. But my favourite one is the kind of the middle one, the guy slumped over, like the guy in that Maxell tape advert.
Slumps over? He hasn't got a box of Kleenex, has he?
He has, yeah. It's that filthy. Oh. This edition of the sex-obsessed Independent, I have to say.
You think yours is sex-obsessed? I've got an entire supplement here about birds. It was a twinned with the Guardian supplements that was yesterday, which was about nature and animals. So this one's about birds. But they beat your review system because each bird that they list, they give it a star system. But then you actually look at the bottom of the page and in tiny writing, it tells you what the stars mean. So the spotter's rating, 1 star for seeing something like a blackbird is, am I bothered?
Oh, God.
2 stars for seeing a red start. And that is... nice to see you blank.
Oh, God.
3 stars for seeing a nuthatch is respect, and it doesn't have a T.
Oh, my God.
4 stars for, say you saw a golden eagle, 4 stars. You're meant to scream at that golden eagle, yabba dabba doo.
Okay. And what's 5 stars?
And 5 stars for an osprey would be, I don't believe it! Like that. The amazingness. In The Guardian earlier, I was having a look, and that's what you get if you see a blue whale.
You can't invoke yesterday's supplement.
I know, but it's part 2 that you get.
No, I'm going to have to disqualify that whole section now.
No!
I'm the winner because
you're
of my armchair racing and your illegal use of The Guardian supplement on a Saturday.
Ha! Bastard.
Okay, it's time now for our Euro 2008 football special. This is our own pull out. And with the Euro soccer ball series well underway and footballists everywhere getting caught for LBW, there is only one thing on people's minds, and that is Izzy being naked in a calendar.
Hooray! I am naked in a calendar.
Tell us a bit more about it, but don't give too much away, of course.
It's for Skeptic, and if you go to skeptic.org, that's skeptichic.org, you can buy a copy of the calendar. I don't think they're on sale yet. They're on sale for The Amazing Meeting. It's basically James Randi of the James Randi Educational Foundation has a meeting every year for sceptical persons, as in persons who basically require evidence in order to believe anything.
Well, I always thought sceptic was a bit of a weird label. It's almost the wrong word for me. It should be realist.
Yeah, realist would be nice.
But it's not as interesting. You can't have then the real chicks and...
Nah.
The realist guide to the universe and all that sort of things.
Nah, it doesn't really work. But, and as a sceptic, I'm raising money for that.
And Pendulette of Penn and Teller fame says he wants to see your...
Well, he wants to see my... He isn't calling me an... So, I'm doing well.
That is true. We're both sort of into this kind of... skeptic's idea of things. I think that came across in last week's episode about the palm reading and whatnot. I think my favourite conspiracy theory was told to me by my friend Dave at university, and he thinks that the opticians is a massive conspiracy.
The opticians?
Yeah, the opticians.
Just an excuse for a man to get that close to you. That's the closest you ever get to anybody without kissing, the opticians.
Or the dentist.
I mean, his hands are in your mouth, but face to face, he never gets that close. He doesn't. He's not as close as an optician. If they made a puckering face, they would kiss you.
Well, do you want to hear what the actual conspiracy of his is?
Yeah, go on then.
Well, he thinks that you shouldn't give glasses to children because eyesight is naturally corrective. Your eyesight will be bad at one point, but over the next couple of years, it will be better. And he says that that's when they give you the free glasses, thus making you reliant on glasses, at which point you then have to start paying for the glasses.
That's a conspiracy, but it's, you know, It's about glasses. What about sunglasses? I mean, everybody wears them and they're not necessary. Are they? I don't know. My friend Peter has a theory, which is if you look at the amount of processed chicken that's eaten and the rise of homosexuality, the curves are the same.
No.
It's his theory, not mine.
I suspect there's just more people that are openly admitting that they're gay.
Mm.
My brother introduced me to this kind of scepticism. He gave me the book Voodoo Science by Robert Park, which was all about, well, not all about, but it had a massive chapter about homeopathy.
Oh my God. Can we save homeopathy for another supplement? Because I'm starting to get angry already.
It is like trying to cure the world's poverty by giving people water.
No, it's like cure poverty with a credit card.
Yeah, that's true.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, here's some non-existent money.
Yeah.
Go and spend it.
Except credit cards work in the short term. Homeopathy doesn't even do that.
That is true.
Yeah, no, I got into it through... It was weird, actually. I think probably Christopher Hitchens, but only because I was trawling through podcasts trying to see if there are any podcasts with any interviews of him on it. And, of course, Christopher Hitchens has been interviewed a lot by a really good podcast called Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, which you can find on iTunes. And he was also for Skepticality, which is for Skeptic Magazine, which you can get some places like Borders and stuff. And yeah, no, I got into it that way. And of course, I suppose the other way is through Penn and Teller via James Randi. So
yeah, I mean, Penn and Teller's Bull's Hit, as Penn refers to it on Penn Radio, was great. Also, I think Bad Astronomy, Phil Plait's website.
Yeah, Phil's lovely. I met Phil.
You have met Phil. That's true. He signed my book for me.
I know. I have met Phil and I have met James Randi, and they were both immensely huggable. I'd give them both huggability factor high, scratchiness factor also very high. So I preferred hugging both them to Christian Slater.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm not going to have a whole supplement about who you've hugged. Yeah, but so Bad Astronomy basically debunking the moon landing conspiracy. Probably one of my favourite sites, actually.
Yeah, it's a really good website, that.
It is very good.
Skeptic does good blogs as well.
And Skeptoid.
And Skeptoid, of course. Brian Dunning. Oh, amazing.
So there we go. That's our Euro 2008 football special.
Yay. I think England will win it. Come on. England. Or Scotland. Whichever. Wales. Maybe Northern Ireland. Any of them. We're all in with the fighting chance.
All right, let's go head-to-head on the travel sections then. How are you in any way superior to me?
I'm so superior to you that it's unbelievable. I've got an entire travel section which chronicles the journey made by Stephen Merchant. Oh yes, that's Stephen Merchant who wrote The Office, and it's his travels across Southeast Asia, because he normally goes to Devon because he doesn't like going anywhere foreign.
Does he actually say that?
He normally holidays in Devon, packs his wet wipes in his money belt and always falls ill. So how will comedian Stephen Merchant cope in Vietnam and Cambodia? And there's just lots of pictures of him towering over people.
He is massive.
Yeah, he is looking mildly uncomfortable, if not a bit sweaty, and banging his head on things. It's beautiful. It's a really funny little article. I've got
an article about how it's a list, essentially, of DJ Spoonie's favourite fairways on golf courses around the world. I have no idea who DJ Spoonie is. Very little interest in his opinion on golf courses. So I think I've won that section quite convincingly.
I think you probably have, Simon. And you've also won the sarcasm section.
Time for article or farcical now, whereby Izzy will read some articles from her paper, and it's my job to spot the one that's fake, i.e. the farcical. So, article or farcical, Izzy?
So, the first one, is it an article or is it a farcical? How I Get Dressed by Tamara Mellon.
How does Tamara get dressed?
Well, you'll have to read the article. It's a two-pager, that one. It's two pages.
Two pages about how to put on a pair of pants.
Pretty much.
Okay, second one.
For dessert, Brussels sprouts. Ooh. And this is about a tiny fruit that tricks the tongue into thinking that horrible things taste nice.
Ooh.
You'd like it, Simon, because the Guinness will taste of chocolate milkshakes.
And this is the little fruit that does it.
Yeah, they call it the magic berry. And if you put it on your tongue, everything will that tastes sour will taste lovely and like chocolate and stuff. It's okay. Magic.
All right, third one.
Top 10 reasons to get a gazebo.
What is the number one reason for getting a gazebo?
Well, I won't read you number one, but I will read you number six, which is, we do not know how soon the credit crunch will kick in.
Sort of get your gazebos in now.
Yes, which is a good reason. And so the last one is what I know about... Sorry, this is... What I Know About Women by Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins, what does he know about women? He just knows it's good to talk.
Nice. So, Simon.
You actually got that?
I did get that. Sorry, I
thought that was an 80s reference.
No, it's BT. I watched television when I was a child. I wasn't kept in a box.
I think you were.
I was kept in front of the box, not in it. Boom.
Boom. A chick-a-choon boom. Right. So, I've got the choice of melon getting dressed.
Yeah.
Sprouts.
I have to dress the melon.
Sprouts, gazebos, and women. Wow. Tamara Mellon. See, that does sound like a name you've made up, which is probably why it's true. So I'm going to say that's probably from your award-winning women's supplement. So yeah, how I get dressed article. I like the idea of that magic berry, although it does sound a little bit far-fetched. Okay, I'm going to come back to Sprouts. Gazebo, yeah, just the line about it's the credit crunch. So that's an article. Bob Hoskins, what do I know about women? That was my deep manly voice. I'm going to treat that in post. It's going
to
be really
treat
boomy.
That? Because at the moment it sounds a bit like a duck.
Right, I'm going to say that Bob Hoskins is an article and that leaves Sprouts as a farcical.
Well, let's start at the beginning. How I Get Dressed by Tamara Mellon. And this is...
Yeah.
An article!
Yes.
So, number two, top 10 reasons to get a gazebo. And you said this was true?
Oh, it's got to be true. It has to be true.
And as always, I have beaten Simon. His ass has whooped. This is a farcical.
Oh, no way. You made up gazebos.
I don't even know what a gazebo is.
Nor do I.
I even tried looking on Google to find out what a gazebo is and found I cannot spell it. I can't even get close enough for Google to give me a search. I think it's got something to do with a garden, maybe a water feature or a type of shed.
So what does Bob Hoskins know about women then?
Sex, he's always found, gets in the way. However,
what?
It's a beautiful picture of him looking really cross. And says, what I know about women. Bob Hoskins, 65, actor, and married for the second time, 4 children.
And that's why he's cross. He's got 4 kids and he's not getting any sex.
Well, maybe, but the picture of him looking really cross, you know, almost as if Roger Rabbit has tried to shag him. that's what he looks like. And he has to put up with it, right?
And finally, the Sprouts thing, then.
Right, this is a tiny fruit that if you crush it and put it on your tongue, and then everything that's sour tastes sweet. It's basically a chain reaction caused by a protein called myoculin, which binds with the taste buds and acts as a sweetness inducer when it comes to contact with acids. So how cool would that be? You just get a kid to eat one berry and he'll eat nothing but broccoli for a week. Cure of obesity problems, maybe. It's a temporary thing, by the way. It's temporary. You don't end up hating chocolate cake.
Let's move on to lifestyle. I'm pretty sure I've got you beat on this one, Izzy.
I'm pretty sure you do not.
I've got an interview with John Bird. I've been a little bit disingenuous, though. It's not John Bird of Bird and Fortune.
Oh, okay.
It's John Bird, the guy who basically invented the big issue. And he looks like Alexei Sale. He even dresses like Alexei Sale. He's a complete Marxist who says that Marxism stopped him being a racist. And he also says, I am a devout ex-Catholic. Every Sunday, come rain or shine, I remember not to go to church.
Nice.
Nice.
That's a funny line.
Beat that.
However, I do have the supplement of the year. The supplement of the year. I don't know why they say that, which is the Observer Woman. But the lead head article in this is Put Them Away, Love. Are We Bored of the Bosom?
Oh, my God.
And it's absolutely, it's full of the most weird, appalling articles ever. Like, literally, there is one that's called My Cure for Shopping Bulimia.
What?
As in, she's equating quite a serious mental illness, bulimia.
With shopping?
Yeah, with buying and selling stuff on eBay.
What has that got to do with breasts?
Oh, the breast one. You want to? Of course, you want to hear about the breast one.
Oh, this is a separate article.
Yeah.
Okay.
I explained that. Had you been listening to me?
I wasn't. I was looking through my own article at the time. I'm sorry.
Now, literally, the breast article, which just basically features women and their tits. And when I say women, I obviously mean celebrities, is posh breasts, arty breasts, A-list breasts, wag breasts. Is the breast really the best? What happened to the bosom? Once kept safely under wraps, now pushed up, plunging and proud. It's paraded as never before, but can you have too much of a boob thing? Asks Mimi Spencer. Her name is Mimi.
Oh dear.
It even has J.K. Rowling's breasts on show.
What? J.K. Yeah. Rowling's? No.
She's got breasts, I can see them.
What, right now? You mean a picture, I hope?
Yes. Well, she lent me some as well.
Oh, okay. Right, well, to be honest, breasts are always going to win.
Yay! I won, like your mum.
Competition time now! Hooray! It's our first competition, and we've got not one, but four DVDs to give away.
Wow.
Yeah, Hancock's Half Hour.
I like that. Yeah. My stepdad would want that, actually. Can we give him something else and I could have that one?
No, there's 30 episodes of this to be given away to the person who can find Sunday supplements missing apostrophe. Because
ooh.
Due to... You threw me with your ooh then.
Ooh.
Because due to web syntax issues, I have been forced not to use a well-needed apostrophe in our title.
Well, no, because it could be a plural of Sundays.
It does still need an apostrophe. It's Sundays
afterwards,
apostrophe.
Yeah. Afterwards,
Hancock's Half Hour has an apostrophe in it.
Yes. So is that what they win, though? Are you going to cut out the apostrophe from the box set? So you could have an exclusive box set because you could cut out or could Tipex over all the apostrophes in it. And that will make it extra special. And it will prove that you care about our listeners.
So it'll be Hancock S Half Hour.
There may be other things, once I've got through loads of DVDs that I got given for my birthday, that we might give away. Second hand.
You can't re-gift.
Why not?
Have you not seen Seinfeld?
Oh, yes, I have.
So basically, we just want our listeners to find our missing apostrophe. Simple as that.
What does Kramer being fumigated have to do with... I don't understand, because he couldn't taste the peaches.
He couldn't taste the peaches, no, that's true.
George had
sex
and got addicted to
food. Should we explain what they need
foods.
To do, to what people need to do to win these lovely DVDs?
I think I should have them, Simon.
You're not having them. Well, you can
Why
have
not?
Them if you actually find our missing apostrophe. Either post a picture on our wall on the Facebook group or email us your story of how you found it. Preferably in some sort of supplement.
Yeah, we need it to be a supplementary based apostrophe. And the best one, which will be entirely decided by me, because Simon will have his own favourite. So basically, you want to appeal to me. So if it's got Alan Rickman in it, and Alan Rickman's naked in any way, that'll be good.
Izzy will give a special award if anyone can post
Alan
an apostrophe on Alan Rickman's wang.
Yeah, I think Alan Rickman's wang might be an apostrophe.
Alan Rickman's wang. Right, okay, that's our competition. We'll Woo-hoo! Move on. And we'll make our own award next. Well, it's about time we figured out who has the superior supplements this week. It's clearly, the Independent on Sunday.
How do you even come to that decision? This is all based on a reviewing system, isn't it? Because you had nothing, you brought nothing to the table that was remotely interesting. Whereas I had Book of Birds, the supplements of the year with breasts in it.
I had Jane Fonda's nipples.
Oh, for goodness sake, I had J.K. Rowling's cleavage. Rowling's cleavage beats Fonda's nipples.
No, nipples beats cleavage every time.
No way. I told you about a magic fruit.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I told you about magic fruit.
Magic fruit that makes the bitter taste sweet. So you're suggesting I should be taking this fruit now because I'm about to lose?
I think you're quite bitter.
I'm not a bitter man.
You are a very bitter man. I can sense it.
So?
See?
Your argument is fruit.
Look, I know you're upset because you didn't win Article of Article again.
No, that is true.
Also, I know about women. Bob Hoskins, come on.
True.
We'll do it on price alone, because I think they were evenly matched.
Okay.
How much was the Independent?
£1.80.
Oh!
How much was yours?
£1.90. Seriously though, Simon, I think you should win this one.
I think I should win too, actually.
Fair enough, you can win. But Simon...
Yeah?
It was my birthday, and you didn't get me anything. I think you should give me the victory.
You want me to concede defeat?
No, I want victory now. And I want it to be... I want, basically, for you to win but have to give it up. Like Mika Salo did at Hockenheim when he had to let Eddie Irving past.
All right, purely because of a very esoteric Formula One reference, the winner this week, The Observer.
Yes!
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do keep emailing us and writing on our Facebook wall. Our email address is...
SundayPodcast, all one word, @hotmail.com. The all one word, you don't put that in. That was just me saying it. I'll do it in two voices, okay. It's SundayPodcast, all one word, @hotmail.com. So everything I said normally, that was it. But this isn't it now, I'm speaking now. It's a Sunday. It's the way the world works these days with all these words.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.